Hi, welcome to the first Shahiros podcast, where we're welcoming our very first guest, Meredith Walker from Smart Girls at the Party. We are looking forward to a long, successful podcast and are so excited to have Meredith on the show as our inaugural guest. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Shahiros podcast. We want to empower young girls of all backgrounds to dream big, explore their interests, and passionately pursue non-traditional careers. On the Shahiros podcast, we hope to help girls imagine their own potential by sharing the stories of exceptional, successful women role models across all fields, like Sally Ride. We believe if you can't see it, you can't be it. Welcome to the Shahiros podcast.
I just want to say thank you so much for being on. As it turns out, this is our inaugural podcast, so you will be our very first guest. So thank you so much for being a guest and kind of being our guinea pig as well.
Oh my gosh, it's an honor and a pleasure. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we love everything that you're doing at Smart Girls, and so that's you were definitely at the top of the list of shout to. So we'll go ahead and get started. You, as our listeners will probably know, you're one of the founders of Smart Girls at the Party. So tell us a little bit about Smart Girls and what caused you to start it, and just your goal and your message and your mission over there.
Well, it all started because Amy Poehler and I remembered very distinctly just how rough those years are that are there. Back in the 80s, when we were going through adolescence, I think the belief was that that was like 7th and 8th grade, maybe was around that time of adolescence. And now
yes.
We know so much more about it, like the prefrontal cortex isn't fully formed until you're in your mid-20s. And so we've learned so much about it since then. But either way, we just found that that's such a really hard time in life, because not only are you going through your second physical growth spurt, but you're also going through this time where all of the thoughts and feelings and things that you had and maybe didn't even question, all of a sudden you're kind of confronted with the idea of fitting in a little bit more or a lot more. And so we started talking about it one night and how hard it was. And we realized that so many of our friends had the same experience in one way or another. It just wasn't a blast. You know, you weren't feeling your best in those years. And the thing was a lot of times just people who would interact with us and we felt that we'd been heard. And a lot of times that was just older girls and older women who weren't in our family, because it just felt nice to be heard. So we thought,
right,
what could we do? And then after a lot of talking about it and wanting to start with maybe camps and conferences and all these things, we were both in the TV business at the time. So we thought, well, why don't we stick with what we know now and let's do. and so that's how Smart Girls at the Party actually started. And our mission really is, well, what we wanted to do is, you know, turn everything that we believe into a community, you know, and have kind of an online clubhouse where everybody knows they belong there, everybody's included, and we're really just about trying to celebrate the everyday girl and woman. And now we actually don't even want to limit it to any specific gender. I mean, we just want to celebrate everything. We love doing, and I think we have this in common with you for sure, with Shiro's, is that, you know, it's not about achievements. It's not about, like, graduating college when you're 11, and it's not about winning prize. It's about what interests you. And if you're curious enough to pursue what interests you, you're going to be an interesting person to yourself. And that's really what we hope that we can help people strive to that.
Right, right. Oh, that's exactly, that's exactly the same mission we have at Shahiros as well. Now, your background includes working at Nickelodeon, correct?
Well, I worked at one specific show that we sold to Nickelodeon. It was called Nick News.
Okay.
So I actually worked,
yeah,
which I'm even more proud of than I could be for working for Nickelodeon, working for Linda Ellerbe. She was one of the first women to host the news, and that's back when we only had three channels. We didn't have 150 channels with lots of, like, beautiful people on the air doing lots of different things. And she was a tried and true journalist, and so I really learned my craft through her, the craft of storytelling and helping other people to tell their stories.
Right. And is that, so working with Nick News, which I recall watching when I was younger myself, how do you think that kind of shaped your personal mission and kind of brought you, how do you think that comes into play now working with Smart Girls?
Well, it certainly informed my desire to help people tell their stories, especially young women at mm-hmm. first. It informed the idea of helping others be informed. You know, we really like right. to present the facts and present things to other people. That's what we like to offer up. Help you make up your own mind, because we're out in this world that everything's kind of being pushed at us, whether it's a news network your parents might watch that yells at you a lot and likes to keep people afraid, or it could be just, you know, media messages, even in magazines. There's just so much coming at us. And we really like to be able to take things aside and really explain them and really have somebody else help explain it if that's their field, and do it in a very fair way, in a very balanced way. And so I've seen the power that that has, and so that's very important to us.
Definitely. Now, one of the things that we always kind of we focus on at Shahiro's is kind of the idea of a girl can't be what she can't see. So having
right.
mentors and women when you're a young girl that you can look up to is so vital. So I have kind of a twofold question for you. The first one is, as a young girl, as a teen, who were some of the women in your life, whether it be, you know, family members or in the public eye, that were role models to you and inspired you?
Well, I certainly agree with that whole philosophy about that you need to see it. And I would say that, you know, most of the people that I thought of that way were very local to me. And mm-hmm. and sometimes it was men that treated the way they treated women made me admire them right. more. And I wanted to follow their footsteps, particularly a man named Congressman Mickey Leland. I think everybody should know who he is. He was friends with Barbara Jordan and Ann Richards and all of these kind of great minds in Texas at the time. But I would say one that many people would recognize is Lily Tomlin. I remember seeing her in a one-woman show that she had, and it was so beautiful, and it was so not about her being the center of attention and being a star. It was about the interaction that happens between an audience and the people on stage and how that's where art happens. And that's when I knew. I thought, oh, I love it that you can connect people and realize that we're all in it together. And so that really served. She really served as one for me. And then, of course, Linda Ellerbe. I had always admired her and felt that her voice was very strong. And I read a book of hers where she talked about applying knowledge. And you can get all this knowledge, but you need to apply it for it to really impact your life. And I remember thinking, oh, I want to be like that. So I really have looked up to her for a long, long time.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, especially Lily Tomlin. For me personally, she was definitely one that I watched, and it was, to me as a kid, it was very groundbreaking to see a woman so funny in comedy that, I don't know, it just felt like she was doing what the boys were doing, and she was doing it just as well, if not better, sometimes.
Exactly, right. And she's a keen observer of human loveliness and human foibles. And it's always
Correct.
Fun to kind of have things reflect that with a little edge of humor to it, so it doesn't sting as much, that it's something we all do sometimes.
Exactly. So still kind of staying along those lines of women who inspired, I know that you were a mentor with the Ann Richards School for Young Women Leaders, correct?
Correct.
And so tell me about, kind of on the flip side, what was it like mentoring young girls and kind of your experiences there?
Well, one of the things that is very important, I think, to me and to Amy, knowing that we kind of are online mentors sometimes as well, is really just having a relationship with them, with the younger ones, that is about, it's more about friendship. I mean,
right.
You know, we're not their parent, but we are there to kind of guide, but in a friendly way. And so helping people feel at ease and feel comfortable with themselves is something that I really strive for. So I try to just listen a lot more than anything else. And then, you know, if they have questions to ask me, then I always love that. But I think we're more about letting them be heard. I just, sometimes mentoring sounds like such a serious word, because it's also used in the business world a lot. And so right. The distinction that I was trying to make, and I think I was kind of fumbling around, but is that what we do, mentoring to us here, is more about like hanging out and befriending and listening.
Right.
And someone just being able to be themselves in front of us. It's less than it is just a total guidance thing. And so sometimes I wish there was a specific word for exactly that. But I think that if you want to be mentored or if you want to be a mentor, I think that that's a good thing to keep in mind about how you approach it. It's a relationship.
Right, right. I think that's perfect.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure I said that right.
Of all the work that you've done, especially with Smart Girls, what has been what's the most rewarding moment that you can think of so far?
Oh, gosh, there are so many, but...
Well, that's why I said that you can think of, because I know it's probably hard
that's
to think
of like
the absolute favorite, but maybe one of the first that comes to mind.
One of the first that comes to mind is I'm the roving ambassador, and I go out and do all of the public speaking and workshops and conferences and school groups and things like that, which I really love the most. I love being able to be face-to-face and do this work. And there was one talk that I gave to high schoolers, and afterwards there was a group of girls that waited and waited to be able to say something to me. And the very last girl, she had been crying, and she just said, "Thank you so much, because hearing you today and knowing about Smart Girls makes me feel less alone and makes me know that I'm not abnormal. I'm just me." And I thought, oh, my gosh, if I could have felt that once when I was in 7th, 8th, or 9th grade, that would have been really great. And so just knowing that by showing our goofy selves and telling our stories, and listening to their stories helps people feel less alone or less ostracized or marginalized in any way. Those are the best moments for me. And I've had several in different ways, but that was the one that came to mind.
Oh, that is amazing. And it is. It's if you can just make that one person feel better.
Exactly.
That's a great story. Because I recall my own junior high years. I openly say that those were the, you know, worst 3 years of my adolescence, teen years, early 20s, of all of them. Those 3 years in junior high were the worst. So I appreciate all the resources that are available for my daughter, who is, you know, in a year she'll be going into junior high. So I hope that with the resources and my own knowledge, it'll be just a little bit easier, and she'll have that same feeling of, okay, this is hard, but it's not just me.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the thing. As long as you realize it's not just you, that takes a lot of the charge out of it.
Right, right. Well, it's a good segue into my next question, which is, what do you think in your life, looking back, was one of the biggest obstacles you had to overcome personally, and what's the life lesson that you kind of took away from it that's helped you accomplish the things you've accomplished in your life since then?
Oh, my gosh. What an excellent question. That's a real thought provoker, I'll tell you.
Thank you.
That's really good. I want to ask people that, too. gosh, I mean, I usually just lump it in. I lump it so much together with the hardships of the relational aggression that happens in late middle school. Feel like once you make it through there, you're kind of forced to find your way on your own, I guess. But I would say a more adult answer is that I worked at Saturday Night Live, and it was really great. I mean, and that's where I met the best friend of my life, Amy. And
and
I met a lot of people who were really kind of, I was like, oh, my people, you know, we all had so much in common. But it was also really, really hard work and really long hours. And it was also, there's an aspect to it that is just plain and simply the entertainment industry. So you're wheeling and dealing, and it feels like you're spinning plates, and you're dealing with a lot of egos and people, and you know, people who want to seem important. And I remember that being really hard, and feeling like I was maybe not as comfortable with it as I had hoped. And it was after that I realized, or maybe it was during that I realized, you know, I really want to continue what I had learned so much at Nick News, and And one of the things that I really liked doing it at Saturday Night Live was helping hosts feel more at ease and help them feel comfortable, since they're just kind of getting shoved into this pre-existing group. And I thought, you know, how could I take what I know and offer it up somehow? And then somehow that's when Amy and I started talking about Smart Girls. And so it's being able to kind of harness all of this stuff and use the information, apply the knowledge of like what I did well and what I didn't do as well and what was really hard. And, you know, and then that, so that was gathering all of that is how we kind of went forward making Smart Girls.
Yeah. That's perfect. And I think a lot of people are for the better then that you took that lesson with you.
I'm so glad to hear it.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. My next question is, I know you guys have a lot coming up, and I understand you're going to be visiting Comic-Con. So tell me a little bit about what you have coming up and what you guys are going to be doing in San Diego.
Well, we have so much coming up. We have been shooting a lot more new shows, and the production quality on these is top-notch. I am so in love with all of these shows.
Fabulous.
Yeah, and so we're hoping to have them ready to launch right before Comic-Con, which I think is June 9th through 12th. It's San Diego Comic-Con. And so we're going to use that. We're going to have a big activation area there, so you can come by, and you can talk with me. We have a little come talk to Smart Girls, and I'll be there in person. And tell everybody all about what we're doing and have some really fun giveaways and also some sneak peeks of our shows. And so we're totally excited. This is our first year to be at Comic-Con, and so many people are incredibly enthusiastic about us being there, so we're more and more excited.
Oh, I think it's fabulous you guys are going to be there. I unfortunately am not going this year, but I was there last year, and it's definitely, I think, the women's voices are finally creeping up in that area in the con world and in comic books and pop culture. But the more groups like Smart Girls that are actually there with a physical presence, I think is really going to help open that door for all the different fields that Comic-Con kind of represents, from artists to entertainment to, you know, everything, just to have a presence there. I think it's great that you guys are going to be there. It's awesome.
Well, I'm sorry we're missing you. I wish we could both be there. That would be really cool.
I know. It's not always easy to get in, but I'm definitely planning on being there next year. Yeah, it was definitely a really good experience last year. It's a great experience, and I'm glad that there's going to be, you guys are going to have a booth and a voice there, and I definitely will be pushing along my channels for everyone to come visit you while they're there, for sure.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I have one last question before I let you go, because I know you have a very busy schedule. But for any of our young Shihiros listening to the podcast, what advice do you have for girls in general today, especially girls in that junior high age that we've kind of been talking about throughout the podcast?
Well, I would say, gosh, there's so many. I hope parents don't get upset with me. But I would say when you feel the fear, sometimes do it anyway. Because we're you know, taking risks and putting ourselves out there and taking the chance of maybe people thinking we're a little goofy. It's worth it. And it's worth it. And the weirder you feel, the better, I say. And, we also like to say something here, and it's called we're changing it. It's get your hair wet, but we also say get your head wet, because not everybody has hair, and that's just fine, but we want everybody to feel included. But it's get your head wet, and that means choose the fun, playful thing. So if you're in that moment where you can either, like, go to the shopping mall or go tubing down a river, we say choose tubing down a river. It's because you're going to have an experience that way, and the more experiences you have, the richer your life is, and the more you get to know yourself, and just the more fun you have. And so it's a metaphor now, because it just means you don't always have to actually literally get your hair wet. It just means in the moment, choose the playful thing. Kind of say yes. If you keep saying yes, you're going to keep having really fun experiences in your life that just build you up and build you up and build you up. So that's what I would say.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on our very first podcast. And I will definitely let you know when we have it up, and it will be up before Comic-Con so we can get the hype going and make sure all of our listeners who are visiting will go check out Smart Girls and say hello.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for what you're doing. I mean, I love going to your website. I really do. I think that the profiles that you do are so inspirational for everybody. I mean, there's so many things
you.
We don't even know are out there as options for us in the world, and you highlight those and celebrate them, and it's just like this beautiful almost catalog of choices to make. So it's so cool. I love
it. Oh, well, I appreciate that, and I look forward to collaborating on a project sometime in the future with you. I think it would be a fabulous and fun time for us to come up with something we can do together. That would be great.
I totally agree, and I think that we should. So next time we're near each other geographically, let's for sure get together. And if not that, then we'll plan something amazing over the phone.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you so much, and have a great week, and have a great time at Comic-Con. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm so happy to be the first.
Yay!
Okay, talk to you
later.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the She Heroes podcast. Please join us again, and don't forget to visit us on the web at www.sheheroes.org. See you next time.